treasures we can find on the path. I think that many of you are practicing spiritual life, if not all of you. And some of my statements will be a little general, because I have someone in mind who starts his spiritual life, for whom I'm speaking. But I believe it is always quite educative, if not inspiring, if we visit these general places in our life and make sure that we have really gone through them and we have not jumped over something and then we miss it in our life. So I wanted to give a little meditative kirtan. I'm looking. Is the window open? Your room? Was? Das geht, wenn man es ganz soft ist. Ne? Nur ganz kurz. Ne? Please all sit straight. We heard a lot of singing. Now it's time to go a little bit inside and perhaps sing with our heart. Not loud, but softly from our heart. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Rama, Rama,
Hare 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 Hare, oh Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Is gone, the melody is still there. Or even when the instrument breaks down, the rich world of melodies is here. I think we can make it a little bit, actually I can go a little bit like this, then it's not so loud for you. The process of self-realization, or as we would hear from Sigi Jung, the process of individuation, or the process of Krishna consciousness, is quite natural, actually. And the nice thing, and that's the thing that convinced me personally to take to this path, is that it's not something which you import, so to say, or which you bring from outside, from a scripture, from a teacher, from a culture, from others around you. It's not what you bring from outside into your life, but it is something that develops, that's already in there, in you, and develops in a natural way. I always liked the example of the how the caterpillar turns into a butterfly. I learned this in very dramatic times. My father, who had very, very troublesome memories of the Second World War, said that once he came into a detention room where Jews were held just before they were sent into the gas chambers where they would be murdered by the Nazi regime. So it was at a time in my father's life where he had become already unwilling to participate in the Nazi regime, but he was forced by the surgeons, you know, by the officer, to continue. So once he was sent to inspect one of these detention rooms, and he saw this one room was full of butterflies. Not flying butterflies, but drawings on the wall. And he found out, after a lot of talking with many people, that the people who were before in this room knew that they would soon be all dead because they would enter the gas chambers, but they had painted butterflies on the walls as a symbol for eternal life. What they were trying to express is, just like the caterpillar doesn't die when it stops to be, and develops into a butterfly, a flying, beautiful thing. So in the same way, when we meet our physical death, we actually move on and nothing stops. There's a saying, when the caterpillar thought its life had come to the end, it started to fly as a butterfly. No? So my father told this to us because it had moved his heart so much, and he said something very nicely. I think that he quoted a poet. He said, "Between our two eternities, we can constantly end, and we can have constant endings and new beginnings." This is a little bit tough to understand. And see, before you were born, you were already there. That's one eternity. And after you leave this world, when your physical death is, you continue on. That's the second eternity. So we are sandwiched, so to say, between two eternities. And in this short period, which we call a human life, we have a opportunity to constantly reinvent ourselves and develop into a better version of ourselves. We can end something that is not favorable, that's not good for us, and we can start something new. I must confess to you, my body is very exhausted from 50 plus years of traveling and so on, and living a very fast life as a monk. You can live fast, yes. There was a time, about 1 month ago, I understood, if I don't start with regular physical exercises, my health will be compromised. So I'm now doing every day. I find exercises a little boring, to be very truthful with you. I do every day 7 minutes or 8 minutes of exercise, not more. And I see that this little practice has given me so much strength. I do not need a lot of sleep as I used to need, and it begins to change myself. So this was just an example that for a human being it is possible to renew himself, just like for a caterpillar it's possible to turn into a butterfly. And now comes the good news. My dear people, my dear devotees, my dear skeptics, when the caterpillar, you know caterpillar, Raupe, ne? Eine Raupe in Deutsch, turns into a butterfly, it doesn't turn into something that's entirely new. If you want to express it with a difficult word, it's the theological consequence of being a caterpillar. It means that the butterfly is already programmed within the cells of the caterpillar. And if the caterpillar doesn't have an accident on the Zürcher Bahnhofstraße, then it will develop into what it is meant to develop, not what it is meant to be. You follow? It's a little bit like in a seed, you have already a tree. It is already there. It's put in there. It's programmed in there. There is the biological codex there. And if you just give the seed a little water and some good ground, you know, you can't plant it on a stone, obviously, but some good environment, at that time, the tree, which is already present in the seed, will come out with flowers, fruits, coconuts, jambu, whatever, and it will come. So, please take courage. All of you, in one sense, are already perfect. Wow, that's a concept. You don't have to become a better version of yourself because you are already perfect. You are a part of God. You only need to provide a few good, and we will speak about this, provide a few good circumstances and avoid some accidents, and you will develop into what you are already. You can say it a little bit simple, become who you are. Does this say something to you? Become who you are. Don't stay who you are not. Become who you are. Finished. That is the beauty of spiritual life, and that's the beauty of Krishna consciousness. Now I know for some of you, you may think, well, for self-realization, do we need to dress like this? And what's with your hairstyle, man? And do we have to dress like this? Isn't that very, very specific? Indian, and more specific, isn't that from the land of Devadama, Bengal? You know, Is the Hare Krishna, will we all become Hare Krishnas when we become who we are? My dear listeners, this is the doubt of my father. I'm speaking now of the biological father. He was very, very disturbed when I became a devotee of Krishna, because he had a total different plan for me. If his plan would come through, I would now sit before you in a black suit. In one pocket there would be $1 million, in the other pocket $1 million Swiss francs, I would have a different hairstyle. Most probably I would have come to Zurich in my private jet. That was the plan, to make me someone like this. But when I met my spiritual master, he said, "You are not like that." So my he trained me through his older disciples to become a monk like this. So my father was disturbed. I had changed the route, and he met with my spiritual master and challenged him. He said, "Do you think your form of spirituality, which is just so Indian, has any future here in our Western country?" And he gave an example. If I take a crocodile from the river Nile, as Cairo fließt durch die Wüste und so weiter, and I bring it into a German river like Rhine or Elbe, can it survive? No, it will die perhaps within 1 week. The same thing will happen to your movement. It's so Indian. The way it looks, the way that no one in Germany goes dressed like you, you know. And this would be not my problem, it would be your problem. But because my son is in it, it's my problem also. So what do you say now? He was standing, I still remember that he was standing there, and his fists was like this. He was really not an easy one to convince. So my spiritual master answered like this: if you think that Krishna consciousness is Indian, you are making a mistake. This is not Indian, it's not Western, it's not Eastern, it is the movement of the living soul. Wow, that was a great statement. And he said, God, whom we worship, is the same in all cultures, just like the sun. In Germany, you may say, what is the word they say here? Die Sonne, Prabhupada. Okay, whatever that is, Prabhupada said. In English, it's the sun. It's in French language, it's what, and then he looked for the word, la soleil. In Italian language, there's also a sole mio, isn't it? No? So not sole mio. Sole? Sole, yes. I can speak very close. But it's the same sun under different names. So Krishna consciousness is the movement of the living soul, and you can practice it in all cultures. And then he turned to my father and he said, you can practice it in suit and tie. Is that all right? Yes. There was a lot to take in for my father, because he said simple sentences, but they were deep truths, you know, that the soul is not German, it's not English, God is not German, and not in English. God has for sure not a passport which says Catholic priest, believe in by the Pope, or in something like. No, he is transcendental. He's beyond all these names which we in this world use. And he's not a member of any culture. So he said like this, and then he asked, is that all right? And my father, he was thinking of things, but he was speechless. And then my spiritual master gently said, then you may sit down. And my father, who would never follow anyone, was just sitting down. And years later, he remembered that and said, your spiritual master is very intelligent. I didn't know what to say. I still don't know what to say, you know. Because, yes, this is the main point I'm trying to make. It's something natural. Yes, we may practice it with some externals, you know, dress, the way we divide our day, songs which we sing in Sanskrit, and so on. But this is not really the core and the essence of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is all about love of God. That's the simple English determination, that you're loving the Lord. And Prabhupada, he used to say, when you are Christian and you can do it like this, fine. When you are Muslim and you do like this, you develop your love. Fine. There's no need to change. So this is a quite universal approach, and I would like to speak a little bit more about this. Let me look in my Zurich notes here. So I was saying, it's a path of development into your natural situation, just like the caterpillar is already a butterfly. But again, it only becomes a butterfly when it is prepared to undergo the actions and the changes that are necessary. Only then will its destiny, its Bestimmung, unfold. No? This is very important to know. The seed is already the tree, but only if it is planted into good earth and water is given to it, will it be able to develop into its destiny, an apple tree or a banyan tree or a banana tree, and so on. These are very, very important concepts. I wanted to say something more here. Do you know how an immature mango turns into a very tasty mature mango? Yes. You could answer, well, leave it at the tree. But there is another way. When you take the mango, which is immature and green, and put it next to a mature mango that is golden and sweet, or we could say sweet. At that time, in the association of the mature mango, the green mango begins its work of transformation. it is somehow the mature mango sense in some ways a signal which is known and compatible to the green mango, and then that signal begins to work in that green mango and makes it a mature mango. This is also how we human beings are. In order to do our transformation and change in that what we are destined to become, we do need the association of spiritually superior people who are more developed than us. And in that association, we will receive the necessary impulses that help us to transform our heart and become what we are originally meant to do. Do you follow? And it's interesting, it's not only the things which they say. It is the way they are that influences you and turns you into a mature spiritual person. It is the way they are. I have a personal example to give. I'm not shy to say that 30 years ago I was in a spiritual crisis, and I took the help of a very advanced or progressive realized soul. I visited him and told him about my crisis, my doubt and so on. And when I was finished, he asked in perfect English, "Are you finished?" And I said, "Yes." And then he started to explain to me in perfect English what I had missed. But now it comes, after talking to me for about 5 minutes, he changed into his native language, Bengali, and continued to speak to me for 1.5 hours in Bengali. Now, I don't understand, I understand 4 words in Bengali. Kemon Ochun. Yeah, how are you? And Rasgulla, I understand. Bas. That's all I know in Bengali. So he had spoken to me in a language I couldn't understand, but afterwards I had understood everything. This is what they know in India. You don't need to understand logically always. Logic is necessary to set you on the path so that you know in which way to move forward. But then, beyond the logical, rational things, the association with a saintly soul has much, much, much more effect on you. Just like in our example of the mango, how the mango, green mango, becomes a mature mango in the association of a ripe mango. Yes? So therefore, the association of spiritually minded people is so absolutely important for you, for our spiritual development, and how we turn into what we are meant to be. There is a verse. It says, "Sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarva shastra koyo." Lava matra sadhu sangha savasita siti hoya. No? By the association with a pure soul, even though it's only for the 11th part of a second, what can you talk in an 11th part of a second? Finished. by sadhu sangha, you can, even if it's only for the 11th part of a second, the word is lavamatra, no? You can attain all the perfections. Because, let us understand, it's already there. Perfection is already with us. It just has to develop. It has to, Rumi would say, if you want to grow, seek the company of those who can fan your spark. This is how my spiritual master also used to say, Krishna consciousness is already within us, this in a spark-like form. If you fan it, it comes out and is it becomes what it is, a fire. No? I'm saying this to take the pressure of I need to do this and I need to and how exactly from you. If you can find an environment in which there is a spiritual atmosphere, then you will grow in that environment. And if you are in an environment where there is no spiritual atmosphere, or not an atmosphere that speaks to you, and you stay there for too long, it's not good for you. With environment, we don't mean necessarily only a room like this. We mean also the ashram. Let me say like this. There may be a person who is single, or in the ashram they are called brahmacharis, who live in celibacy without the companionship of a wife and children. Now, if you are in such an environment, but it is not natural for you in your ashram, it is better you change into another ashram, ashram here, a station in life, a married man. Ashram means where there is no shrama. Shrama means an intense effort. It can mean an intense effort to earn money. It can also mean an intense effort to maintain a situation in life that is not natural for you, that is not nourishing for you. When you are in your proper ashram, there will be no shrama, no big effort. It will flow natural. So spiritual life usually is practiced in two kinds of ashrams. One is a life station, either you are a celibate monk, or you are married, or you are in the process of responsibly leaving family life again when you become older and so on. That's an ashram, but another term of ashram is this place, for instance, where there is a temple atmosphere in which you can grow and in which you can spiritually become nourished. No, I have seen in my life most people suffer because they have no mango next to them, which is mature. They have no influence that helps them to develop their natural path, their natural life. No? They have not the right circumstances in their life. I see this at the moment at our traveling party. We are overextended. We are traveling too many countries in too short of a time. And for me, this is unnatural. I become a little tired and so on, and I and so on. This is a warning signal. When you are naturally situated in your in the life that is natural for you, then there is no effort. No effort. You flow. And this flow in spiritual life is so nicely described in yes, there's sometimes there is discipline, getting up early, learning scripture, learning spiritual techniques, and so on. There is some discipline, but it happens natural. It is not something which is difficult. So it is my hope for all of us that we find the natural circumstances that help us to grow. Sometimes we need to watch our circumstances and we need to be a little bit critical with us, because often the problem is not that people think they are too great, they think they are too small. That's the greatest problem of people. Yes, there are a few puffed up people like presidents of nations, without mentioning names here. But many people, most ordinary, normal people, they think they are too small. They think things are not possible for them. And they are afraid to leave their compromised situation. When I was in India a few years ago, a saint told me a story. I forgot to ask from where it is, but it was like this. There was a pond, and the pond was slowly drying out. It was a very hot summer. The water evaporated. The fishes started to die in the hot mud. And the ducks who were there had soon finished all the fishes to eat them. And people came to this pond in the early morning to pass stool. And because there was no water, and so everything became infected and smelly. And so once it happened that a group of swans who were on their way to the crystal clear waters of the Manasarovar lake passed this pond, and they saw a few ducks there who were struggling for existence. So they took compassion and landed and said to the ducks, "We are flying to this crystal clear lake, the Manasarovar Lake. Come with us. You can even sit on our backs." "Really? Is there enough to eat?" "Yeah, there are lotus flowers. There's everything which you need, algae, everything. And it's not so hot, it's not so cold, it's just ideal." "Okay," said the ducks, and they climbed on the backs of the swans, and they were flying. But after some time, the ducks said, "But what's with our ponds, with our pond?" "No, there's no pond like this, it's a lake." "Oh," said the duck, "we feel homesick to our ponds." And the swans had to return and put them back. This happens sometimes on the spiritual path also. When you go into an unknown territory, you feel, "Oh, so unknown, it's so foreign to me, so strange. Let me create the same circumstances that I'm used to." This is not good. This is Maya, illusion. Yes. So yeah, these are some thoughts. I just put them together. I want to go back to my main line. Process of Krishna consciousness means really only to purify the heart from its misconceptions and wrong identifications. And if you have done that, my dear everyone, then everything is good. Jiva Goswami, a great philosopher, says, "Your whole spiritual life can be expressed in one sentence. And if you make this sentence your motto in life, you will become very, very quickly perfect. It means like it's this: I am an eternal servant of Krishna. First is I am eternal. Then is what am I as a servant, as eternal soul? I'm part of Krishna. And then what else is there? I serve him. And from this understanding, this knowledge, your Krishna consciousness or your natural spiritual life will develop. This is what I wanted to explain to all of you. I hope it was helpful for you, young and old, and everything in between. And I want to see, do you have any questions you would like to ask at this moment? I see our good devotee, your good name again?
Lokapala?
Pavini. Beautiful name. Yes.
I want to ask about association, because sometimes I'm going to talk about myself. I get mental when it comes to like thinking about what is good association. And sometimes maybe I'm even blind for people around me. But sometimes I get also frustrated, and I would like to have a ripened mango also. So I can also ripe and somehow progress in the spiritual life. And I would also like to develop good relationships with devotees. Sometimes I fail at that. So maybe I would like to know what should be the attitude of a person who is looking for
good association. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I like to always see things as simple as possible. And not so complex. You will see when you are in good association. That means you will become enlivened. You will feel that. And if you do not become enlivened, then this association may not be good association for you. It can be good association for someone else. Really, there is one Sanskrit text: Bhakti Parishanu Bhavo Viraktya Anyatra Chaisha Eva. It means when you practice the process of bhakti, you you will develop bhakti or devotional love. You will have experiences that are divine, you know, of the soul and God. And you will ultimately develop a natural detachment from the things that are not good for your bhakti. And then it says, this is natural. It happens as certain as when you eat. The first feeling of when you eat should be, oh, this is good. Ooh, good. Then, as you continue to eat, you will feel a nourishment. You will feel in your stomach, oh yeah, yeah, it has arrived. It is working. It's and so on. Today, and then after some time, in a natural way, you don't need chat GBT, GBC, or what is it? You know a better computer than me. You don't need any intelligent artificial program to tell you, now it's enough, Lokapala Pavini. Now you have eaten. It is natural. You feel it. So everything in spiritual life should be natural. Of course, I have to always say this. If we want to move ourselves from one state to the other, let me show you. Can I have your bottle, please? No problem. You get it back. Don't worry. When I want to move something that was in rest, I have to push it a little bit in order to overcome the Haftwiderstand. What is this in English? the resistance which to movement which happens when it's in an object is in rest.
Friction.
Who has a ChatGPT? Haftwiderstand. It's when something is there, to move it, initially you have to put some energy because it stays there, no? You have to, and then it's easier. So when we have to move ourselves to a new type of existence, we have to make a little effort, like the ducks who were who were carried by the swans. It's a little bit uncomfortable to move in a new thing. What does it say?
Adhesion resistance.
Adhesion resistance. That's the English word, and no one understands anything. it's a word from physics. It means Haftwiderstand. It's a scientific term. Can't you say for a simple mind? No.
Inertia.
Inertia, yeah, inertia. That is a simple word for this. Here's your beautiful bottle. So that initial inertia, Trägheit sagt man, die ein Objekt hat, that has to be overcome, but after some time it should be natural, no? Also das merkt man, you will feel if you are in the right association, if you are nourished. It is quite straightforward. Good. Yashoda Dulal. If you don't know Yashoda Dulal, I want to introduce him to you. He is in America, he's married, he is a wonderful spiritualist and my friend, he has taken care of me. He has hosted me over many years, and he is very intelligent, and he knows good English, like, let me grab a quick bite, he would say such very good words. And he is a long time practicing spiritual life. What is your question?
Krishna Maharaj, thank you so much. You're too kind. I had a more fundamental question, you know, trying to remind myself of the basics. You talked about how to change and transform ourselves, but could you speak about why should I even want to? What if my situation is wonderful and there's no problem in my life and I don't know why I should even take the spiritual life?
Yeah. I had this also. I remember when I first met devotees of Krishna, and they said, would you like to know about us? And I said, why should I? in a gentle way, no? Please give me a reason why I should. And the devotee was not prepared for such a. That's how we speak in North German language, you know. He said, because you are suffering. What? I have no suffering in my life. I have no financial need. I have no, I don't know. No, everyone in the world is suffering, the devotee said. He was a little young and he had a red face. He was pressured. There is birth, old age, disease and death. He looked at me, if I'm convinced. He said, but that's natural. if you have something, if you have a problem with what is natural, you might need psychotherapy. I don't know. Why is this suffering, please? The devotee said, I'm new here. I'm you. Goodbye. And I remember 1 year, I was thinking, these people are. These people, you know, I couldn't see that it is suffering because I had no clue of let me see myself, of my real self, and I didn't know that the soul is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss, and when it takes on a material body, there is birth, old age, disease, and death. It is foreign to the nature of the soul. I had no understanding of this. Yashoda Lal, I'm in a position that many come to me and ask me to pray for their fathers, their mothers who have cancer, and people and pray for people who are close to death. And now I know that death is misery. And I know in my life there is nothing as sure as death. That's the only predictable thing amongst all the predictables. But I remember once Prabhupada gave a lecture to a new audience. It was in Australia. We all have a problem. We are born, we are growing old, and we die. Krishna consciousness means to stop this problem. He was very strong. I can understand it because my consciousness is open for this idea, but a materialist will not see this. And he would say, well, let me just, my whole characteristic and so on, I just put it into software, and even when the body dies, I will exist as a software program. What's the problem? They say, there is such an idea. Hare Krishna. Yes. Why should I? Yes, because you are a part of God, and unless you have realized that, you still live in an illusion, so to say, or in a compromised reality. The problem here is Yashoda Dulal. I'm sure you understand this because you're on the spiritual path, but it's not so easy to make someone in material life understand this, unless and until they come into a situation where they face the reality of suffering, either someone dies. Therefore, there is a statement in the scriptures that it's most easy to take for people to take the spiritual life when they see when they experience a disenchantment from the world. But someone who's totally enchanted or under magical influence, it's difficult. But rest assured, everyone will come to that stage, you know. Everyone will become in a situation where they know, I need something else to solve this problem than which is available on the self-help market or on the market. Hare Krishna. I will think more about it. I'm just come from a retreat with more than 100 very enthusiastic devotees, and you ask me, why should we even do this? I will say, next time I will tell you, please, I will kidnap you from New York and bring you to the retreat. Oh yes, I see. See you. We have a microphone for you.
Hare Krishna, dear Chaitanya Mahārāj, thank you so much for this wonderful class.
I don't know, it was a simple class. Yes, yes.
I'm really grateful for this thought that you shared, that mostly we have problems that we think that we are not great, but we are
small. Yes, small. Yes.
It also reminded me one quote by Marianne Williamson, who is a writer. She said that the biggest problem is that our biggest fear is that we are not inadequate, but our biggest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure.
Yeah, yeah.
And this like makes me I'm pondering on it for some time already, and now you shared. Sorry, I'm worrying about a little bit. Mm-hmm. So my question is that we're thinking about ourselves that we are too little because of our ego. First we think that we are great, then we get disappointed, and then we get to this thinking that we are too small, too little. So how do we get back to this adequate understanding of what we can do, what we can offer, how we can serve, mm-hmm. not through selfish way, not through egoistic ways, but how do we get mature, you know, on a higher platform, that we can really be, you know, self, less, you know, instruments of God.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your, yes. Mm-hmm. Out of our ego, we think we are great. And the same ego, when it's frustrated, says we are very small. It's not much difference. We are in both cases in illusion. You asked if there is a solution to this. From the spiritual point of view, and I will address this only from this perspective. There is the solution is self-realization, that you understand who you are, and that happens when you purify your heart and you stop identifying yourself with the body and the mind. This passport identity, which is that. You need this to function in the world, this passport identity, but in the spiritual world, your identity is not defined by these datas, what you have learned, how big your body is, how what's the weight of it, what are your, and so on. And you need to come closer to this. Now the interesting thing is, when you practice bhakti and purify your heart, self-realization should be or is a natural consequence, because self-realization in bhakti yoga means really to understand what you are a part of. I would like to give you an example. This is too obvious for you because you are a modern person. I don't have anything like. Imagine you find a screw on the street. And you're asking yourself, what is the screw? What kind of screw? What function does it serve? Only when you understand what the screw is a part of, let us say it's part of a juicer that makes nice juice from celery plants, then you understand what type of screw this is, where it belongs, what eyes functions are, and in the same way, you will understand who you really are not the biggest and not the smallest, then you understand what you're part of, in that context, in other words, connection, in that yoga, in that finding your natural place, you are definitely the able to recognize who you are. That's our process of bhakti yoga. We serve Krishna, and in the process we do hope, we realize more and more who we are. Psychologically, there it starts, or that is one thing. We understand ourselves spiritually as who we are. We understand ourselves rasic-wise, in other words, what particular taste and what relationship we follow, that all becomes clear. But what I really see, and that's the reason why I said it, many of us blockade ourselves. We keep on holding fast to false identifications, and we are not able to transition again and again towards our natural goal. And that process to let go of these blockades is called anatta nivritti. Therefore we hear in the scriptures what we should let go of, no? The anattas that blockade us. If you ask me personally what my own private thoughts are on this, I have realized on my own steam alone, on my own strengths and intelligence, I can only come so far, but not all the way. That I have seen, and I have begun to invest first my faith, and now is realization in the holy name, that I understand this is the way I can associate with the Lord in the easiest way, and chanting sincere and seriously as much as I am able to do. Today I'm not so good because I had a late start, and then there was so much to do. But I know this, and I know when I'm finished, when the day is finished, when you all are on your way home, then I will again sit down, chant, and give my best, and in this way it comes, the understanding and the feeling of peace and being in my own strength. I see there are perhaps more questions, but now it's 20 minutes for the six. I heard about five stomachs growling like hungry wolves, and I should be compassionate and not cruel to you. No? So I think we will end here, and maybe you announce, and anyway, they are all waiting for this and know exactly where the pots are. Hare Krishna, I stop here. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.